Hi, this is Charles with the News in Review on democraticfundamentalism.org. Well, first, I want to welcome those of you linking into democraticfundamentalism.org from other sites. I do my best to provide links to relevant news stories on other sites to provide you with independent verification of what I talk about. As I always say, you don't have to take my word for anything. I don't have to make this stuff up. Except for maybe today. Today will be mostly about my own thoughts, feelings, expectations, failures in being, successes in being. And I want to hit the reset button and inform you about what this site is really about. Thought I'd call it Thoughts About How to Change the Future. I do that sort of sadly because just moments ago I got word that the Senate passed its own version of the resolution allowing George Bush to declare war. I'm not too happy about it. I do want to say I appreciate the efforts of Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia for doing what he could to stop this resolution in the Senate. I thought it was interesting that I took a rest for a couple of days, knowing what the writing was on the wall about this resolution. I thought I should rest up and prepare. Put a little thing on the front of my website. It said, "Gone Fishing." One of Mr. Byrd's remarks to the Senate was, "You might as well close up the Congress and put up a sign that says, 'Gone Fishing.'" I hope he didn't take that from me. Nonetheless, it's been difficult for me to decide what to say for the last few days, which is why I haven't said much of anything. It's been all about a few principles: commitment, faith having to do with religious disciplines, faith having everything to do with religious disciplines, the values of alliances, conditional versus unconditional love, people living their lives based on hope instead of acknowledging what is actually occurring and acting on it, based on their inner conscience, their gut instincts and intuitions about what is right and wrong, and the fear that forces those with, let's say, an objective view and expression of their values to speak out with integrity, or not. I've been thinking about words like the terms true believer, martyr, incarnation, anarchy, empowerment, monotheism, reliance, dependence, faith, hope, the meaning of certain beliefs and the interpretations people place on them to fulfill and justify their own beliefs, ultimately to fulfill their own need to be right about things, the most fundamental need and flaw in the human character, based on the principle of external validation and how it causes people to use domination to achieve it. And the way people become attached to old paradigms, ways of doing things and thinking about things that don't honor true beliefs or intent, but instead end up perpetuating and causing greater complexity to the possibility of untangling the injustices and misguided methodologies employed to address the problems of the world, like war. The truth is, you can't untangle anything. You simply have to create something new to accommodate the needs of all sides. I've looked a lot at what is behind the phrase, "there's safety in numbers," and how that philosophy has caused incredible divisions between people, mostly taking the shape of religious confrontations or the preference of opinion as being related to ethical values and patriotism in order to force alignment, not out of a commitment to giving people choice by informing them as an act of trust in the goodness of people, as an expression of domination and the use of fear as a tool to force submission, and the threat of campaigns of public humiliation to suppress dissent or acknowledgement of dissent. There are a few fundamental principles and ideas I've talked about in all of this. First, that in everything I say, I really don't mean it to be critical, but I offer it as an observation. I've talked about the veil of the facade of righteousness in the past. It's what I described as the syndrome of, saying all the right things in public to project an image in order to garner popularity or to garner support for an idea or a campaign. All the while in the background, what we used to call the smoke-filled rooms, people are really thinking and saying things that have nothing to do with the words and ideals they speak in public. But it makes them look good. It gets them what they want, despite the lack of integrity involved, and I've got a great example of that to share with you today. I've talked about how I've always viewed the world more like a movie playing before me, and how with a slight change in the conversation and circumstances that I could cause by inserting a new or disruptive thought, idea, or action, change the world in some small but quantum way. And I've talked a very little bit about the bittersweetness of all the times that I've done things that cause benefit for other people and have either been trashed in the process or at the very least have received no acknowledgement at the time. And as a human being who, like anyone else, would like to be acknowledged for the actions I've taken and the benefits I've caused, just like you or anyone else, I've needed to reward myself with self-acknowledgement for the good I've seen accomplished. I also believe that every person we meet as we go through life has something to offer us. I remember recently asking someone what it is they're supposed to tell me, what message they had for me to assist me in doing this work I'm doing. I'm so direct about such things that people often think I'm a little titched to ask such things. Anyway, I received no response at all, and it hurt because, well, I'm somebody who truly loves people and appreciate what they provide for the world and the things they actually do. And I'm a very expressive person. I believe in expressing feelings, good or bad. It's just not the norm these days. Think of the times you've told someone you care for, or someone told you that they care, only to have them treat you like you were odd, even though that expression made them or you feel good, despite the world's way of causing people to act cool instead of authentically. As much as that response hurt, because I believe that person had a great number of lessons to offer, there was one lesson I got from it. You're on your own. As much as I disagree with that response, that philosophy, when I project that into my ideals about what it means to be engaged in community, I have to admit I would not be saying what I am saying to you today if they'd offered me any other advice. That may be good or bad, but yep, it was advice. And the real advice that I received is that the only true empowerment that's useful is self-empowerment. This, despite the friendships I held dear and now assume are lost in the exchange. You might wonder how I would consider that advice. Well, someone else once told me, if you're going to have an interpretation, let it be the one that empowers you. Interestingly enough, there's one musician out there who wrote a hit song about me. At least one. Not sure about some of the other songs on the album that actually sound pretty accurate about me, but my first of all time did that. And in that one song, it seemed to include some kind of offers to me that apparently weren't true. And of course, that hurts too. It's disappointing, but it's the same lesson and result. Can't listen to the music at that point. It was a painful lesson. Don't want to think about it. But probably someday I'll get over that too. But it speaks to the issue of how we do things. Say the pretty words to make people feel better, only to cause more damage in the end. And there's another artist who did an album that seems to describe the very emotional and psychological processes I'm going through right now in order to assist me in what I'll call my own transformation of sorts. You know, walking through the thinking that I need to go through to write the book called For the Love of the World. It's as if they were offering me a guide for my life. Artists are like that, you know, prophets and guides. While I might be able to quote one of them by saying, how can you turn away, it really all just speaks to that part of community we've lost. The idea that love is actually expressed in a commitment that you follow through on, like a discipline. Nice words, no commitment, damage done. What was intended to provide comfort turns to pain, but that's the way of the world. Those aren't much processes each of us go through day to day that we have to face, that we have decisions about in regard to our own conduct and expression of compassion for other people. The expectations that our actions generate and that we create about other people because of our perceptions of their actions, that sense of what it would be like in a world that works. That's why I share these stories right now, because we all share that same journey. We all actually share the same feelings and desires and disappointments. And it's good to be aware that we all share them. It sort of makes us all feel a little less alone. But ultimately what this world becomes is based upon authentic expression and follow-through based on the commitments we claim, the promises we make, and the understanding and consideration of other people's circumstances and weaknesses, and our ability to recognize when other people's influences, our need for external validation, causes us to stray from our real commitment, causes us to take on doing things that aren't quite in alignment with what we really intended to do. For example, one might think that this site is about the news, and basically it is. For a while, it seemed it was about me being some kind of newscaster, and it was never intended to be that. It was intended to provide examples of what is occurring in the world, the pattern of events, and the differences between what was being said in public versus the actual actions being taken. And so for me, that leads to the final thing I'm going to say about what my purpose is on this website and in the world, which has to do with that sense we all have about ourselves, the purpose given us upon our arrival to this planet, this heaven on earth. I've stated things before in very strategic ways, things to cause people to think about the true meaning of words as opposed to what the words have come to mean as they've been manipulated to cause people to believe that leaders think one thing, as they play on the ambiguities of words, as they attempt to garner support for causes that, if the truth were told, are unjust. And in some ways you could say that my purpose is to set the record straight. So I'll share this with you about my real purpose here, in my life and in this world. I believed from a very young age that my purpose was to cause global peace and abundance for all. Those are good strategic words for representing what I regret, but they don't mean what you think. It's not just about doing away with the ideologies that cause us nations and people to go to war. It's not just about food and natural resources. It has very much to do with the idea that if we all understood one another and respected one another, and that if we gave up the position that we all have to fend for ourselves and took it on as a community of people to live the golden rule, there would be no need for laws or separation of religions and nations and people. That if we live the golden rule, true community, global peace and abundance for all would be the most natural expression of who we are as people. It would be the logical result emanating from all the hopes and dreams and ideals and ethics we have inside of us that we've abandoned in the world because we believe we must do whatever we must do to get our fair share and to be sure we don't get left out and to defend ourselves from those who would take advantage of or harm us. The golden rule is simple, and I'll use these words to present it, though it's not an exact quote from the Bible. It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, under that rule, there's no need for law. When people say things like the answer is in each individual person, it's not about operating under the widely accepted cliche, who said the world was fair? It's like the example of the hypocrite Christian who goes to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week cheats people or takes advantage with the idea that going to church or even accepting Christ or whatever the requirements of a particular religion are to qualify for the classification of acceptance into it, it offers absolution and forgiveness. Those would be the acts of those who create the tangled web, the veil of facade of righteousness that we face in our world today. And it's not about taking an hour a week to volunteer, and it's certainly not about collecting awards and public praise for acts or service. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is definitely about the responsibility of the global community to care for each and every individual, like caring for a baby. It's not about handouts, it's about hands up. Relieving pain, not causing pain, showing compassion, being able to reasonably expect compassion and respect for all beings and for the planet. It's about honoring the right we all have to dignity. But more than anything else, it's about justice. Every moment of our lives, in every action that we take, every judgment that we make, and every system we construct, every time one person does not fit into the categories we have created, we fail as a society. No one should ever be left out or allowed to suffer. There simply is no reason for it. I've always thought that the definition of a friend was someone who would not take advantage of me in any way, even if I provided them an opportunity. Someone who would take responsibility for ensuring equity and parity in all interactions. And someone who would be straight with me about things instead of allowing me to believe things in a situation because of expediency to their purpose. So that brings me back to global peace and abundance for all. Can you honestly tell me that you wouldn't choose that if it was possible? I doubt you wouldn't choose that. And that's what I'm counting on, because I do believe it's possible, and that is what I'm committed to in this world. Part of what it will take is the power of the mind, the ability to envision the way you want the world to be, and then using your God-given, well, some would call it psychic abilities, to cause it, to actually create it. And the part that will really cause an uproar eventually, the concept of monotheism, the idea that despite all the divisions amongst religions around the world, the divisions that cause war and cause people like Jerry Falwell and Franklin Graham, you know, Billy's son, to want to go on around claiming Islamists are of a lesser class. In the Bible, they're referred to as blasphemous and false prophets because of their fanaticism. You can read it for yourself in the Bible. It's in Revelations. Anyway, despite all the divisions, that we will actually worship the same God, and that our peoples and religious values are based on the teachings of one man in history called Abraham. People don't want to believe in monotheism because it strips them of their need to belong to a specific group and to divide themselves from things they don't want to understand. And worst of all, because of some religious leaders who don't want to give up any power from their church and so demonize others, maintain and control their own flocks. It's a very controversial thing. But even the Bible says that before the second coming of Christ, all must accept it. And that even the Jews must accept that Christ is the Son of God and that he died to sacrifice himself to absolve us of our sins. It says all that in the Bible. Like I said, I don't have to make this stuff up. Now, I have a couple of examples of the kinds of things I'm talking about. Things that were reported in the news today that I believe are timeless in what they provide, as well as a few things I want to say that will cause some tribulation in the world as time goes on. First, from CNN and the Lou Dobbs Moneyline program, a guy I affectionately refer to as Uncle Lou from time to time. No, he's not my uncle. But I call him that just because I believe he provides an example of the kind of person who people should emulate. He presented the story of Andy Rooney, another guy on TV who I believe typically sets a good example, although this time, like any human being who says the wrong thing at the wrong time, Well, here's the story. Rooney slams NFL sideline reporters. Story goes like this. Have you ever noticed those sideline reporters at NFL games? Andy Rooney has, and he's as cranky about them as he is about everything else. Rooney was interviewed on MSG Network's Boomer Esiason show last week and said, I'm not a sexist person, but a woman has no business being on there trying to make some comment about a football game. Well, when the Journal News of White Plains called the curmudgeonly 60 Minutes commentator to ask him about the remark, Rooney didn't back down and he added that he doesn't think much of male sideline reporters either. Rooney's comments got back to Martha Burke, chairwoman of the National Council of Women's Organizations, who's also leading a fight to have Augusta National Golf Club to admit its first female member. She said, Mr. Rooney has proven by his remarks that he is indeed sexist, Burke told the Journal News. Don Hewitt, executive producer of 60 Minutes, told the paper he was unaware of Rooney's comments and wasn't interested in hearing them. He said, I'm interested in what Andy says on this broadcast, 60 Minutes, which I edit. I'm not his father or his mother, he said. Rooney, 83, told the Associated Press on Thursday that he was joking, but he declined further comment. Now, you might think I'm going to comment on his remarks about women. Well, that would be too obvious, although I must say that for a guy who makes his living commenting on zillions of things he has no first-hand experience about himself, it's hypocritical for him to make this statement. I'm actually more concerned about Don Hewitt's remark, because it speaks to that veil of the facade of righteousness I keep talking about. Hewitt's attitude is apparently that so long as Rooney fronts the CBS image and persona while on CBS airtime, he doesn't care what else happens. The problem is, my take on this is, how will we ever know if what Rooney says in the future is an accurate representation of his views and beliefs, or if what he says is merely fluff that will appeal to advertisers and the American television audience? In my view, it undermines the credibility of CBS, more because of Hewitt's remarks than Andy Rooney's. I don't agree with Rooney's remarks, but at least he wasn't lying or trying to conceal his views. That at least gives us the opportunity to decide for ourselves. And as for the father business, well, we all play different roles with different people. The day we stop being mentors to others, regardless of their ages and positions, is the day our souls begin to die. I have the same kind of view about our representatives in Congress. Once again, I'd like to point out the wisdom and honesty of people like Chuck Hagel, Tom Feinstein, Edward Kennedy, and especially Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia, who, even at his age and stature, is giving every ounce of energy he has to defend American principles and values in response to Bush's stance and demand for legislation regarding Iraq. And speaking of guys worthy of emulation, I have to say again that Senator Byrd of West Virginia is showing what an incredible statesman he really is. I'd send him a gift to show him my appreciation, but I'm afraid he'd get in trouble for illegal gifts, because I'd have to send him a huge one. Nonetheless, I'm impressed. Here's a man who brings heritage and wisdom and courage to the table every time he speaks. The headline, Byrd Battles to Delay Iraq Resolution Vote. A jealous guardian of congressional powers, Democratic Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia, is making sure the Senate takes time, too much, detractors say, to debate war with Iraq and creation of a Homeland Security Department. Byrd is fighting an uphill battle to delay consideration of an Iraq use of force resolution until after the November 5th election. He argues that the campaign season is causing lawmakers to rush ahead rather than carefully consider President Bush's proposals. Beyond that, the silver-haired 84-year-old Senate President pro tempore and chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee sees Iraq as yet another example of Congress ceding its constitutional authority to the executive branch. Congress might as well just close the doors and put a sign over the doors and say, "Going fishing," Byrd said on the Senate floor. Congress is being stampeded, pressured, adjured, importuned into acting on this blank check. And as a matter of fact, at approximately midnight tonight, the Senate passed a resolution to give Bush the authority to wage war against Iraq. And what I have to say about that is, in the long run, should we wage war against Iraq, the American people will voice their opinions in the next elections, and it will not bode well. But at least we'll discover whether Bush is a man of his word, or if his words merely cover his real intentions. I have my own opinions about that. But watch the world, though, as people speak out against the war. Not as if the governments care about what the people say. But it's like what I said about monotheism and what I call the cultural revolution and the return to moral disciplines. The world will not be willing to hear it until things really get bad. I think they will soon. And it says that in the Judy Collins song In the Mix tonight. With that, we'll call it a wrap. This is Charles on DemocraticFundamentalism.org. Say a prayer for the world tonight.